All right, this is Centaur Views. My name is No Sense.
And this is Victoria.
This is a podcast where two Sagittarius people come together and give their opinionated views on cultural topics.
Disclaimer, you will be offended. Don't at me.
All right, welcome to the show. This is Centaur Views. This is your boy, No Sense.
And your girl, Victoria the God.
Remember to like, subscribe. We are on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Anchor, anywhere you get your podcasts. And we're on Facebook and Instagram at Centaur Views.
You don't ever say share. Like, share, and subscribe.
Well, that's it. Like and subscribe.
Yeah.
Well, share.
Share.
Yeah. All right, so let's start it off. Let's get right into the two cents.
You want me to go first?
Yeah, ladies first.
Oh, mine is like ignorant. So, you know, I don't be knowing what's going on in pop culture. Oh, hold on. Did I miss Soulja Boy and Bow Wow Versus?
I don't think so.
Okay, I need to go and put my notifications on for that, because I want to kiss you through the phone. Well, not you, but yeah. I need to put my swag on, because I forgot all about that. But I digress from that. So my two cents this day is, you know how people tell you, like you having a deep discussion or an intense confrontation, they were like, no, just forget I said that.
I don't do that, but I think about what I say. But I've heard people, yes.
Yeah, I've said that. Like, just forget it. Like, I've said that, and it happened to me today. Somebody told me, I was in a confrontation, and somebody told me to forget they said something. And I'm like, how the fuck I'm going to forget what you said? Especially when my petty ass go sit there. That's going to be the very thing I remember. Is whatever you tell me not to, that you forget, just forget to say, I'm going to remember that, because you got me fucked up. That means that you said something that you ain't had no business saying.
Yeah, most of the time it's not an unforgettable thing when they ask you to forget it.
Right, exactly. Like, just forget I said that. How the fuck I'm going to forget you telling me calling my mama ugly? You know what I'm saying? Like, or you telling me fuck you? Like, what the fuck you mean? Fuck me, just forget I said that. No, I don't have, I'm not Marlena off of Days of Our Lives. I don't just pop, cop an amnesia when it's convenient. Like, that's not how that shit works. That's not how your memory works. I'm gonna very much remember what you said, especially what you told me not to remember, because you said it. Like, people be saying shit. Like, it's so emotional, be saying shit out of emotion. And then don't really think about what the fuck they be telling people. Like, this is coming from a tactless ass Sagittarius. Like, I know by nature I'm tactless. I just say things and don't think about what the fuck I say. A thought pops in my head and it comes out of my mouth. There's no filter. There's no process. It's like, should I say this? Should I not? Initially. However, I also have my Sagittarius, actually both of us, I think Sagittarius and Mercury, which means for people that follow astrology, and if you don't, just follow along for a second. So Mercury is the planet of communications, right? Mercury's also in retrograde right now. So it means that communications and technology and traffic and travel, like the ways we get information, is going to be, what's the word I'm looking for? It's going to be affected. So with Mercury
being, my Wi-Fi not working.
That's why your Wi-Fi is not working. That's why Teams wouldn't let me open up any of my fucking presentations today and save any of my damn documents. But I digress from that. But Mercury is the planet of communication. It is exalted. That means it's high. It's powerful in the sign of Gemini. So Gemini is the sister sign of Sagittarius. So that means we're on the opposite end. So because we're opposites, so having a Mercury in Sagittarius means that we at a detriment when it comes to communication. So that means that we say things a lot of the times that just be fucked up. It be fucked up. And we be looking like, what did I say? Just, and people be looking at us want to beat our ass, but they don't really run up. But that's not neither here nor there. Having a Sagittarius Mercury means that my foot is always in my mouth. So I have learned that I should definitely practice thinking before I speak. Because this is not a strength of mine, I had to practice this over a few years. And I still don't get it right all the time. But I think I'm a whole lot better than I was previously. Thank all the gods in the sky. So if I can do it, so can you. So if you say something that you really don't mean, don't expect me to just forget about it. That's not how that works. I'm going to definitely remember exactly what you said. And this is like the court of motherfucking law over here. I'm going to hold you to exactly what the fuck you said. Because that's the type of nigga I am. And if you didn't mean it, you shouldn't have said it. So it's just a word to wise and my two cents again. It's just to think before you talk to me. Talk to me nice, people. Because I will remember forever. All right. Okay. I can't stand your black ass. Yes, I'm done.
I say what I mean when I say, well, I think before I post. If it come out of my mouth, I can't stop.
Yeah.
And then when I post, y'all still be on me. But whatever, I meant it. I thought about it. I contemplated it for a couple days. I still post it. Okay then, I'm okay with it.
I think so. Mm-hmm.
Well, my two cents is for the past couple days, for the past few weeks, I have transferred inside my company. So I'm getting a lot of things reset and things of that nature. So I don't have all my, I don't have everything that I need to do my job.
Permissions. That's what we call it at my job now.
Permissions. Oh, okay. So yeah, so I don't have any permissions. So while they're working on that, I've kind of just been, waiting. Just waiting on the updates and stuff like that, but also watching a documentary on HBO Max. I mean, I'm still technically working. I'm in front of my computer, emails and everything else.
But can't email, nigga.
I do have email access, man. Shut up. So the documentary that I've been watching is called Atlanta's Missing and Murdered Children. And if you haven't heard about this, it happened in the late 70s, early 80s. And there were a bunch of majority young boys going turn up missing and then found days, weeks later dead. And the interesting thing about this is that the GBI, which is the Georgia Bureau Investigation, called in the FBI. And normally with something like that, because it's a state, the FBI doesn't get into it, but they did. Reagan was in power at the time. And so they came and they went through all these investigations and they end up arresting a guy called by the name of Wayne Williams. And this case is so popular that even I think Andre 3000 said something in one of his rap songs. Like, it's been referred to in pop culture because it's kind of like, it was like a real life boogeyman back in the day. But what I find interesting is that with the case, he was charged for two murders. There were, I think, 28 cases. And so throughout this trial, they really didn't have a lot of hard evidence. The prosecution used a lot of witnesses who committed perjury at the time. There was other suspects that they didn't bring in. Just a whole lot. And when you look back, even the parents of these kids don't believe that he did this. But at the same time, he was charged for those two crimes. He's currently serving two life sentences for that. Every appeal that he's has been shot down. And they closed the cases for every kid, even though he was only charged with two. So technically, he's not even being brought to justice for their deaths. And just the cover-ups and the racism in this, like, it just shows how bad politics was. Because it was all about Atlanta being the mecca for Black wealth. So you couldn't have this, you know, this serial killer on the loose and people not wanting to come. So it just, it's a real tragic story. And the documentary, it does kind of get into, it doesn't really say his innocence or his guilt. It does point to a lot of things that can prove that he's innocent, but it doesn't glorify him. Just, you know, the man is in prison, so you don't want to glorify the person, but it does a lot with the families. It puts the spotlight on the moms, especially where they came up with their coalition to protect the children, to force the police department to open the investigations, be active in the investigations, and to even open it back up. Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms, she opened it up with a new female sheriff in Atlanta, and they're going back looking through all the cases. So it's real deep, but it's also a very hard, eye-opening view at how the system is so racist when it comes to a Black man. So it's something I think not just Black people, but everybody should kind of watch. Just to understand, like, there's, and I think with, especially with the David Kavanaugh trial, it was hard for a lot of people to watch, but we need to understand, like, why these people get off or why they get locked up, because a lot of it is how they present, what they present in court and how they present it.
Wouldn't it be I think the issue is the laws themselves, not?
Well, that's the thing. It's how you use it. And I mean, there's a saying in law is you can indict a ham sandwich. But you just got to bring the truck. You got to be able to prove it. And so
all you got to need is a slither of doubt. That's all.
But it's just the fact, the way that they played, they made him to be, a homosexual in the 70s. You were judged because you were homosexual. You know, the prosecution did so much to sway the jury, even though it really wasn't.
Was he a Black man or a white man?
Yes, he was a Black man. Young Black man. He was about 5'6", 5'7". He wasn't even a big guy. Very frail, nerdy looking. And the guy that he actually, that they first charged him with was like a 5'11", 6 foot. 280 something pound dude, and they said he picked him up after killing him and threw him over a bridge. Like, nobody could believe, like, he would have that type of strength. So it's just, to me, I think the biggest story is it was only 40 years ago. So it's very, you know, it's very much current in how the system still works. So I think everybody should kind of just see, like, not everything that we see in the media of how these outcomes go is correct, is based off of what people try, you know, politically they are trying to achieve. And a lot of it was money. It was, they didn't want to see Atlanta fall. But a lot, and the biggest thing was the KKK. A lot of people that were in the department worked for KKK. There were suspects that were in the KKK. So it was kind of like, if we bring a white person to justice, Atlanta will, it'll turn into a race war. They had just built the airport. which is kind of like the busiest airport in America now. So a lot of money was on the line and they didn't want to watch Atlanta burn. So if we could get a black man and we lock him up, it shuts everybody up and it saves the race war from happening. So it's a lot. And like I said, it's
innocent black man. That's what it sounds like.
Well, that's the thing. Even if he killed the two men you still have 20 some odd cases that they just close because they say, hey, yeah, so he's in charge. He's responsible for these murders. You didn't do any more research after that. And so, yeah, there's no justice for the rest of these families.
Or the man.
Well, yeah, that's my two cents. It's they have a couple of movies that portray the trial, the episode, but that documentary is from 2020, so it has a lot of information that just recently been discovered and opened back up. And it's about, I think it's 5 episodes, if I remember correctly.
Okay. Ready?
Well, this week's show is about authenticity. And first thing I want to ask is, what is authenticity to you?
What is authenticity? I think for me, I define authenticity as you being radically honest in who you are, what you believe, what you do, regardless of what is your true self. I think when you actually be, that's when you're authentic. That's my definition.
I think it's just being real, honest in all aspects with yourself, with others, being very transparent. So how has authenticity affected your growth? Because with being kids, we're kind of taught to lie a little bit. I'm saying with the whole Santa Claus,
definitely.
Easter Bunny, your parent saying, tell such and such I'm not here. Right. I know you've been at a restaurant where you had to lie about your age so you could eat free, you know. Right. So it is part of everyday life. But has it, like, being authentic, like, how does it affect you as you grow older?
Well, I want to first read the definition of authenticity. Authentic. Merriam and Webster define authentic as worthy of acceptance or belief, as conforming to or based on fact. Conforming to an original so as to reproduce essential features, made or done the same way as an original, not false or imitation, real. True to one's own personality, spirit, or character. That's what authenticity means. Antonym is bogus. I like that word. As I've gotten older, I think I've become more comfortable in who I am, and that therefore has made me live an authentic life. I think for me personally, I grew up encouraged to people please, and when you people please, you have to lie. You have to lie. So I agree with you in a sense when you say that we are taught that, like, a little bit. I think it's a lot, as children, because especially it's like if you don't want to speak to somebody, we're taught to like speak. Like, I don't want to speak to that mean motherfucker. Oh, I'm tired. Why I gotta speak to these people? You know what I'm saying? Is that they teach us that as out of that we're doing it out of respect when it is erasing who we are and conforming to others around us. So as I've worked like extensively hard, I've worked extensively to live in my truth despite what other people think. It's caused me to really evaluate my relationships, whether it's familiar relationships, whether it's romantic, platonic, professional. Like I played small so long. Now, as an adult, like it's necessary for me to live out my truth in the way I make decisions about what my children do, how I behave in public, what I eat, how I look. What about you?
I mean, it's, you know, with me, it's like I really can't lie. It's hard for me to trust people who do lie at all about the smallest things. So with me, it's, I noticed that my circle's gotten a lot smaller.
Right.
By doing that, because a lot of people aren't okay with that. And I, being that I'm not okay with it, it's like, I don't need that part, you in my circle. Right. Like if you're gonna represent something that you, that we both know that you're not, I don't really wanna be a part of that. It's caused me a lot of short romantic relationships. Because of course, when you start a relationship, you're bringing your representative. So once you be the real person, it's kind of like, okay, I've been real this entire 90 days. Like, what is this now that I'm seeing? So I'm very unforgiving at that point when it comes to being real. I expect, just like I expect my friends to be the same way that I am.
Right.
I expect other people to be real. And if you're not, then you know, you can just go up, be around the fake people. So it's gotten to where I've gotten a core. It's a gift and a curse in itself, is minimal of who I can call. But I know that the people that I call are going to be honest with me. They're going to be real. And so it's more or less, I've lost the quantity, but my quality has gotten better as far as my relationships. And it does, in a sense, it saves kind of a lot of heartbreaks because you don't put as much value into people who aren't, who you know are going to lead you down the wrong path or to heartache. So I guess it is kind of lonely, I guess. Because you see a lot, you don't see a lot, especially in the social media era. You don't see a lot of people who are just real. We all have our, what we portray. And I'm really not about that. It's, my thing is, I saw you. Like I just seen you. Like, whatever you saying right now is not right. It's not true. And so I tend to remove myself from people like that. And so it's sometimes where it's like, oh, it's a party over there, but it's not nobody that's real. It's not genuine over there. I know it's, you know, whatever it is not going to stimulate me. mentally, emotionally, physically. So I just don't be a part of it. But I've learned to be okay with that too. So what about like I said, like with romantic relationships, it's become kind of cut and dry with me as far as knowing where I went in the beginning. With other relationships, friendships, romantic relationships, like how does it affect that with you?
How does authenticity affect romantic and like friend relationships? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, just any type of relationships, like whatever you found like that being authentic, of like how it has affected that, good way, bad way.
Well, I don't say it's good or bad. It just is. Like, I agree with you in a sense where you kind of lose people because who you are doesn't mesh well with who they are. And it's no shade, no tea. It's just we don't vibe on the same frequency. And I wouldn't say it gets lonely. I guess I have moments where I feel alone, but never lonely. Like, yeah. But some people, I don't necessarily like look at other people and expect them to be authentic. Like is my sole purpose now at this age is to make sure that I live by my truth. Like my word is my bond. Like I live by the principles, the four agreements. Like those are that's my creed for myself. And in order for me to be authentic to myself, I have to be honest and keep my word. So anybody else is not being authentic, it's not my business no more. So it's not my business at all. So when I hear you go like you expect them to be it, I just go by what they tell me. I believe people, whatever you tell me. And then I make a decision whether I want to play with this right now. like
you know what I'm saying? I don't deal with it. It's like I just don't.
Yeah, I hear what you say. Me is just however I feel. Like if I'm in the mood for it, it don't bother me. Like
look at my watch, I got time today.
Yeah, I got time today. And that's exactly what I said today. I got time today. Let's talk. Let's play this little game. Let's play this game and call you on who you are. Let's play this game today. Yeah, either I don't got it or I do, but it's never I don't just completely got it. I think that's where I'm at because that ain't even my focus. If you lie to me, it will make sense. it will make sense. You ain't got to, but it would make sense.
And see, because that's the thing. Like, I just romantically, I'm not going to do it. And people, we're in our generation, it's almost we kind of look for it. We expect it.
I guess I think that's what it is for me, also.
I'm just built different when it comes to that. Like,
I believe them. By what they say, but I expect them at the same time, I expect them to lie. I do. It don't even be surprising no more. It be insulting if anything. Like
exactly. Like you really tried it.
It'd be insulting if anything. And annoying. But as far as like surprising, nah. It makes sense. Because if you think about it, like some people can't stand the pressure of being around somebody that's in their truth. They freak out. They either like get really loud. Like if you, I think I was watching a video sometime this week on YouTube about, it was a psychiatrist talking about how an authenticity beats out narcissism, because a person that's authentic is not going to care either way about what you got going on. And a narcissistic person is at the root is a very deeply insecure person. So if they're around somebody, like they need the attention on themselves. So they'll get louder. They'll really exaggerate their stories. I'm a narcissist sometimes. I'm self-centered. I'm not a narcissist. That's a whole diagnosis that I'm not claiming at all. Honestly, no, I'm self-centered. I like me. I'm talking about authenticity now. But yeah, that person that's authentic is not going to care either way. Like, I see you for who you are. You can't hide from me. And I think that it was very interesting to hear, because it made sense. You think about, I don't know about you, but I've been in situations where I'm like so unbothered and somebody's really mad that I'm unbothered. What kind of shit is that?
Because that's what it is. It's the hit dog holiday syndrome. It's like, all we do is call you on your bullshit.
And then you react. And I think it's also... Yeah, and I think it's also that people, when they say they don't care, they really do be caring, because they don't know how to process emotion. Like, exactly. That's on a deeper level. Like, you don't know how to process emotion, so you're sitting here lying to yourself that you don't care, but you're acting as if you care, because you don't raise your voice, you don't cry, you don't get deeply upset about things that you don't care about. And then they see the person that's authentic actually don't care, and they don't know how to do that. They be hurting their little feelings. People can't just say, my feelings hurt. That's very hard for people to say.
Mm-mm. So what about in a professional space? Like, how can you remain authentic at work or meeting clients, stuff like that?
If I can't be myself in a professional stance, in a professional space, now I'm like, I don't want to be here. I don't want to work. I've had to go back to saying, like, the people pleasing and the professional, like that, the microaggressions. In corporate America, the lack of valuing your employees while you make millions off their backs, like some type of modern day slavery, is wild. And people, it's like, you doing all, you getting all this emotional, physical, spiritual energy out of me to make all your money and then only pay me this, you gonna get me. Give me that. Allow me to be me. But no, they wanna make sure. What is a professional? I mean, yeah, man, what is professional? Yeah, you got the suit, the tie, like the dress, the heels, the makeup, ain't nobody got it. Let me come in there at work. It's hard to be authentic in the workspace. Because sometimes we niggas.
True.
We niggas.
I think it's hard if the people you're working with aren't. If you have a management that is going to be honest with you, is going to tell you what's going on. Mm-hmm. It's a lot easier to be real back. Life is all about energies. So I feel like when you're around a department or company that is not real, is you right. don't feel like you can be. And I think with people like us, instead of being fake, we tend to just kind of be distant from all of it.
Hell yes.
We don't, you know, we don't commute, we don't participate in the office gossip, and, you know, we will keep to ourselves, even if it's like a little potluck or gathering, like, we know the deal Honestly, with it. We don't want to be a part of that. But it's like, you don't, you know what I'm saying, you don't sugarcoat, you don't fake.
I don't.
Friendships and stuff like that. And I tend to, even where I'm, you know, coming from, you know my whole situation with them, but my biggest thing was the people's knowledge of me was very limited. You know, I didn't participate in a lot of the bullshit. Sometimes I was dragged in it, but I still remained myself, and it was to my detriment when I did.
Hell yeah, always. Always.
So I think
always.
That, yeah, I definitely think that it starts from the top.
Pride goes before the fall. Yeah. You fail to when you fail to keep your humility, life has a way of showing you.
Ooh. Right, 'cause, yeah. I mean, imagine if you run in a store and you know you run out of business. They're gonna close your store. If you tell your employees, okay, this is what's going on, things aren't looking good, they're going to appreciate that more than you saying, okay, well, this is our last 2 days. What? Now I got to go out and find, you know, another job in this amount of time and da da da. It's not the same. And people will be under a false impression. You don't know, somebody could have had an idea when it started, you know, hey, let's try this. Since we pretty much about to lose everything, we should go ahead and do this. This might be an idea that works and put us back in, you know, in the black. So it can, at the end of the day, being real and honest, I think it can be more value than just being fake. When it comes to that type of stuff. So, as we saying keeping it real, is there any time that keeping it real can go wrong?
I think you just gave a great example. Is there pride going before the fall? When you're too stuck in your ways, and you're not willing to, or you're not being flexible,
when you make it just, you don't even want to accept the false.
Right. That's why I tell them lies to me. Go ahead. Make it good. I don't mind. Make it good.
I mean, I think keeping it real can go wrong if you have an expectation of what's to come out of it. If you think that because you were authentic, then somebody should have been authentic with you. When you have a higher expectation of what was to come out of it, I think that's when it comes wrong.
I think also people take someone accounting them for what they said. People think that you're putting expectation on them, when reality is I'm just going by what you said. they flip it on you. So, oh, you're mad because it's going wrong. It's because you have an expectation of somebody. And it might not even be an expectation. It's just you going by what someone said that they were, who they were. You said that you were this.
You know, that reminds me, like, you ever notice that people who have lied in relationships, they'll always tell the person that they lied to, well, you got trust issues? And it's like, but you lied to me. It's right. Not that I just run around having issues with that. You've shown that.
Right.
That you've shown that that's how you genuinely are, is a person that hides and keeps secrets. So no, it's not that I have an issue with everybody. It's just you've done that.
I
hate
that. I mean, that's like, what I meant. They're flipping that shit back on you. That's crazy. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense.
At all.
Because like that's why I say I believe them. Whatever they tell me, I believe you. I believe you. I expect you to be lying to me though. Like I said, it's not surprising. If that was what you told me was a lie. But if I got time today, I'm gonna call you out. Any other time, I'll be like, lie to me some more. Make it good. Keep it coming. Right. And it's just insulting. It's definitely insulting. Anybody like, ain't nobody asked you for your lies, nigga. Oh my God. What's the next question?
All right, this is the last question. What's the hardest thing about keeping it real?
Consistency.
That's a good answer.
I think it's consistency because sometimes I be tired. I don't want to be real. And I think that seeing people that live false lives, it'd be fun. It looks so fun over there in that bliss with no responsibility because I'm just living a lie. They make it look fun. I can't lie. I cannot lie. They make it look fun. But that's for me, that's what it is.
I think me is hurting people.
How so?
Just saying, like, sometimes somebody might feel like something is so right for them. And I feel like it's not. And it's kind of like, my thing is, like, one of my other best friends, like, she comes to me for advice. And I'm the only person that she will just take advice from because I don't look at it from, you know, a lot of your friends are going to look at it from your side because they're your friend. I always look at it as from right and wrong. And so she respects it because of the fact that I will be honest, but she doesn't always like it because sometimes the truth hurts. And so I think sometimes that's the hardest because you don't want to hurt people. You know, your intent is not there when you do it.
I don't give a damn.
Well, you know, just like, you know, your wife be like, does this make me look fat? No, it's your body that make you look fat. You know, it's certain things that is a lot of people say, oh, it's little white lies. But you're not going to go out making it fit. Yeah,
I can't blame you. Because things can be flattering.
That's what I'm saying. You have to tell people that. Just because you like the dress don't mean that it looks flattering. So but I know words. That if I tell you the
that's
truth.
That's what pisses me off about people. They don't use fucking words. Like, there's other words. It's descriptive words.
I was just being general. I wasn't saying that's how exactly. I would say it. But that's what I'm saying. You can hurt somebody's feeling because it might be something that they like to wear, but you don't think that they look nice in it. Or you know that they don't look nice. You've seen, it ain't, I see how it look when that angle that you can't see, I see that angle and no, it don't look good. Or if somebody thinks that they have a talent and it's really not, but they're passionate about it. It's hard to say. Yeah, I think you need to go back to the drawing board.
That's interesting.
But hey, I didn't hurt a lot of people, so maybe it's not the hardest thing.
I already told you. I don't give a damn. That's your them your feelings. I don't want to be responsible for your feelings. That's your business.
And that's how I feel. It's like I'm gonna say what I say. It's up to you on how you gonna take it. But when you know some people sometimes, you know, the closest people you know, it's like, yeah, they might not like what I gotta say about this.
I don't get it. My practice now, like I said, being authentic and inconsistent. Inconsistency is something that I know well. So my practice is to be consistent. That's too much to be responsible for my feelings and your feelings. Not happening. So you take care of your feelings, whether it's family, friend, or foe, and you go about your business. I gotta take care of mine. If I'm willing to share, are you shit on my feelings? That's your bit. That's your ass.
Why are you
going
like
back
this?
To my 2 cents? I ain't gonna forget. Going full circle with this bitch. I ain't gonna forget. Either you, especially when you go forget, I said that. Nope.
You bring it back to the
all the way back.
But that's how we're gonna end this segment, man. You got any final words as far as authenticity? All right,
so you ain't even gotta say it.
All right, so let's go ahead and move on to our spotlight and. I didn't really know that she was a Sagittarius. You put me on that part, but I did know about her and her work. So let's get into it. Jane Elliott was born November 30th, 1933. She is an American diversity educator. As a school teacher, she became known for her blue eyes, brown eyes exercise, which she first conducted with her third grade class on April 5th, 1968, the day after the assassination of Martin Luther King. What sparked it was she was actually going to do a project about Native Americans, and she was watching the news on the evening that she learned of the assassination of Dr. King. And what she remembers was there was a white reporter who was talking toward a Black leader and asked, "When our leader, John F. Kennedy, was killed several years ago, his widow held us together. Who's going to control your people?" And so she decided that she would incorporate her feelings to that, and to tie the two lessons together, she used the Sioux prayer, "Oh great spirit, keep me from ever judging a man until I have walked in his moccasins." So she ended up doing the project with her all white class of experience walking in colored child's moccasins for one day. And when the thing that really got me is when they found out about the exercise, she got a lot of calls and stuff. Somebody actually quoted as saying, How dare you try this cruel experiment out on white children? Black children grow up accustomed to such behavior, but white children, there's no way they could possibly understand it. It's cruel to white children and will cause them great psychological damage. Which is pretty much saying it's okay for black children to have psychological damage, but it's not okay for ours. So she ended up, you know, leaving teaching after a while and being a becoming a spokesman for diversity training. And if you haven't seen the Blue Eyes Brown Eyes, like this, is it on YouTube still?
I'm sure.
But there's she's done it with adults as well. It's just it's very. She is very much a part of the struggle. Like, she is invited to the cookout for sure. She is honest.
Jane Fonda. Love them both. Sagittarius. Oh, that's why I've always liked them. Yeah, I didn't know she was a Sagittarius. It made sense. It was like for somebody to be so outspoken and so high on their horse, like, damn it, I'm right. And I love it. She's real. She's a real ass white woman. She's the only white woman you're gonna ever hear talking about. Well, you know, she actually showing, pulling out a map and showing that the size of Africa on a real map is Africa's the largest continent in the world. And yet you see in the Western maps, Africa is one of the smallest countries. I mean, continents. And the work she does. She goes around and talks about it. Like, she literally speaks about it. The realness of what it is to live in America. So, Jane Elliott is my type of bitch.
Yeah, she is. It's not even about... It's really to do with the whole episode. It's not... Even though it is about race, she's just authentic in saying, this is how it is.
Right.
And I'm going to show you how it is. And she doesn't back down from that. So she gets real props for her. Because that's one of the things is when white people who are on our side, and we always say silence is louder than anything. When you have somebody who is on the other side that has a voice and they're using it, it can make a difference.
Okay, Jay Elliott.
City going crazy. Top five, no debating. Top five, top five, top five.
All right, so top five. So for top five, I picked the top five realities to face. The number five, I put the end of a relationship. I feel like when you actually break up, but when you have that moment where, like, you know it's not going to work out, that's one of the hardest things to face. It's like, okay, I'm in this situation, and now I see that it's not going nowhere. I think a lot of people, they tend to let the relationship continue, even though in their mind, they've already kind of went out, especially women. You guys have a point where you just won't take it anymore and you won't go back. You got any input on that?
Not in that particular, but yeah, I guess that is a realization that you have to accept that relationships do end. You just look at it like life through nature. Nature is Bible. Like, all things end. So you haven't accepted that, of course, relationships end.
Number four, I got adulthood. I don't think it's up to our generation. we weren't prepared for adulthood. It was a lot of stuff taken out of school right about when we were going to school, like your vocational, your trade stuff, stuff like that. And then when you kind of get out in the real world, it's kind of like, oh shit, like this stuff costs money and I need it, you know, right? Like my parents were kids. They were pretty much kids having a kid. So they were growing up as well with me. So adulthood hit me pretty hard. How about you?
Most definitely. I don't think I was prepared for adulthood, but I don't think my parents were either, so.
And to counter off of that, I got number three is becoming a parent. I'm not a parent, but just seeing like my friends go through that, I think there is a reality of you're not living for yourself anymore. I mean, you could probably explain it better.
I don't really like the whole you're not living for yourself, because motherfuckers is most definitely out here living for themselves. So I think that you can accept the responsibility of being a parent or you cannot. I think that's the realization I've come up with. Because some people don't accept it. Being a parent is, I don't know, forgiving, but the actual responsibility, like, you can actually not accept it, like, that realization, that was hard. What's the next one?
Number two, I put the truth after being lied to. And I equate that to, like I said, with growing up and your parents saying Santa Claus, and then you figure out, what? Like, Santa not real? Like, you've been, you know, having this belief for years, and then now to come out and find out, like, you know, I've been doing all this. Where the cookies went? Where my letters been going? You know, why you have me sitting on this old man lap? Like, if somebody's been showing you a false, something false, and then you turn around and you see it, or you discover, you know, something that they've been hiding, I think it hits you and it takes time to take it in when you believe in something.
I'm not bad on that one.
And then the first, the number one, I think is death. I don't think anybody really is. That's like the hardest reality to face. With our own and with others as well.
Oh, like I said, if you can accept that all things go, yeah, it would still be hard though, yeah, I guess.
I think it has to do also with nobody really knows what happens in the afterlife. And nobody wants to say, oh, well, we just check out and that's it.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard.
And just the absence.
True indeed. Well, that ended on a sorrow note. But
but God is good.
We hope you enjoyed the show. As you can see, this is a real conversation between two real, authentic people. But enjoy it, you know, keep the conversation going. And let's talk about it. Like, do y'all agree with all the stuff we said? Is there something we missed out you think you want to discuss? Hit us up on Facebook. We can have this conversation. Vic, you got any last words? I see you, Yana.
Yeah. I'm an elder now. I got a bedtime. No, I'm good.
All right. So, till next time, y'all. Peace.
Peace.
Believe in yourselves. Dream. Try. Do good.
Don't you mean do well?
No, I mean do good. Do good.